This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a Cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys are rewatching Sex and the City with you. And just like that, I'm Corey Cavan.
I'm Kevin James Doyle.
And we have the third guy?
Oh, he's John Sieber.
Being a father.
John Sieber's being a father, but the voice you hear is not John Sieber. It's our illustrious guest today. She's a stand-up comedian and she wrote for The Tonight Show. She performs all over New York City and beyond. Please welcome Chloe Radcliffe. Hey, Chloe.
Hello. Sorry, maybe I wasn't supposed to talk before you introduced me, but I promised three guys.
I know. We really did.
It's funny because we posted, we've been doing this podcast for not too long, but long. Long.
Yeah, that's and, a good way of putting it.
And we have always been all three together. And when we posted on Instagram that John wasn't going to be with us because he had a kid and just Corey and I were doing it, all of our followers like, oh no, this shit's going off the rails. This is going to be insane.
John is clearly the most organized one. And like he like recaps all the episodes. And so we've both have been like, oh gosh, how do we keep this thing on track?
So, so we're like, we are doing the best. We're at home. We're not having any parties while the parents are gone. Mm-hmm. We're totally don't have a keg.
Yeah.
And we're just being really responsible.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
Uh-huh. what's your paternity leave?
For the podcast? Yeah. We talked about this on a Patreon recently. We provide great paternity leave. It's basically that John tells us, I'm having a child with Katie, who is the voice of our podcast. Uh-huh. And then the paternity leave is that he just decides when he comes back.
Well,
and that's how it works out. that's basically it.
We'll
Venmo him some Patreon money, some extra Patreon money.
We'll do that. Yeah.
We'll give him an extra cut.
Yeah. We'll give him a cut of that for some coffee.
I mean, that's the best paternity leave possible. You get paid time off and you get paid more. That almost makes me be willing to have a kid.
Yeah,
I know. Totally. I'm going to go try and have a kid now to get some of my cut back.
I hope we don't see each other for 6 months. And the next time I see you, Chloe, you're just pregnant. You're like, I really thought about that podcast.
Come on. Give me that Patreon cut. I need that $4.
You can tell we're chopping up the bit.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. What's your relationship to the show?
That's what I was going to say.
Are you a longtime watcher and never seen it? Anything in between?
I have, like a year or two ago, I tried to watch the pilot and really hated it and turned it off like 10 minutes in. And today I watched and had never seen the show at all. And then today I watched the pilot before season 3 episode 1 because I was like, I might as well just like get regrounded in it, and I fucking loved it. And I don't remember why. I think I remember vaguely why I thought I hated it 2 years ago or whatever. I think in the pilot there's the restaurant scene where they're all sitting around, and it just feels very contrived. It feels very
Totally.
Well, what do you think about men? Well, here's my position as a character. Here's what I'm going to reflect back on this show. And I think, I don't know if it's that like I'm watching more TV generally now, which is true, or I'm like more deeply embedded in TV writing now, which is also true. But I think I'm like that contrivance doesn't bother me anymore. And now I'm just like, they kiss so much. I love it.
Well, I also think it's true that, like, we've noticed this, but like from that first pilot, the show comes so far, and you can tell that that first pilot is that someone's like, so there's a scene where you see there are four different perspectives on what men in New York City are. And it does feel very, I mean, it's such a scene at like a circular table with the camera being like, what does Samantha think? Like, it's not very smooth in the first episode, and then it changes.
Well, it's also funny, like, once you, like anything, like, once you like try and do something, you realize you have like more respect for it. Cause I know you guys both know each other from a writing class, but it's like, I've tried to write some things and then you like read it and you're like, oh, I guess I need conflict. I guess this scene needs like, and so whenever, and when you see that, sometimes it's like when it's done so explicitly, you're like, if I tried that, mine would have more nuance. And then someone reads it, they're like, what's this scene about? And I'm like, I don't know.
Or somebody's like, I see here that you have a dad yelling at his 3-year-old. Is that the conflict you're talking about? You're like, I don't know.
I just thought it'd be funny.
I saw that happen in Whole Foods. I thought it was going to be good.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It is wild. So wait, what? So you watched the pilot. Did you ever do like which character am I, or watching the pilot where you're like, oh, I connect more with this? Or
it's funny, my boyfriend, who is also a very funny stand-up, as I'm very funny, we're both very funny. my boyfriend, who is also a stand-up,
incredibly funny.
Yes.
Your boyfriend Jerry Seinfeld.
Yes. I'm 17 and Jerry is
Chloe.
No, Jerry, if you're listening to this, please let me open for you. I'll be 17 if you want.
Just take me in a car. Classic car. Give me some coffee.
Yeah,
and let's
come
talk.
Come on, please. I'm a comedian.
It's an MG.
I made a joke to someone about that one time. The 17, they're like, why would you say that? And I was like, because he dated a 17-year-old that he met in Central Park. They're like, that's fucked up. That's not true, man. You can't just say that. And I was like, here's an article. It was a big thing at the time.
Their
brain melted. They were like, what?
Yeah. Bummer. Jer Bear, why are you letting us down like that?
Yeah. Anyway, as you were saying.
What's the deal with my past?
Wow. I think we're the first comedians to make that joke.
Yeah. I think so.
Jeff asked if he was like, so which one are you? I never did it because I knew I'd like know the names, Carrie, Miranda, you know, Phoebe, Rachel. but I just never like fully knew the personalities well enough to know which one I am. And is it the trope that every woman is like, well, I'm a Carrie and no woman is actually a Carrie? Is that the trope?
No.
Because I feel like I'm a Carrie.
Okay.
But that just means like I'm the good one. I'm the perfect one.
No, it's I think the conversation may have started off like that, but now there's actually like I think for such a silly and significant thing, a lot of complex conversations about what it means to identify with characters that has gotten deeper and deeper the longer we've been exposed to this fan base. Mm-hmm. So
what is the Carrie? Like, if I'm anything other than a Carrie, I think I'm Miranda. But and I know I think I'm like kind of aware of the tropes with Miranda that like she used to be shit on and now everybody's like, no, she's the best.
Right. That's one of the biggest things that's changed. Yeah.
What's the Carrie association?
We've talked about this because like we've talked about like what we are, and I think the as three guys, we've talked about this many times. And I would say it a lot of times that I'm very Carrie, which like I think a Carrie is someone who I'm gonna have to let Kevin like tap in after I say some of this to like fact check things that I'm saying, but like she's a little bit the glue in some situations where it's kind of like Miranda's like a career woman, strong opinions on this, kind of a bummer sometimes, you know, and but like really has her stuff together. Charlotte is very much waspy and traditional and wants this other kind of life, but has like a hidden wild streak. Samantha is sexually free, but also like a career badass and like is a very loyal friend. And then like Carrie is kind of just experiencing things around and bouncing her ideas off other people, and is also a little indecisive and doesn't necessarily come out well in a lot of ways. And it kind of makes things about her. Now I just sound like I'm a monster, but no, this is where I'm going to let Kevin tap in.
She is definitely, there's a really good article about how she's like an anti-hero on par with like Tony Soprano. Mm-hmm. There's like a really good Emily Nussbaum article about that. Like she doesn't get the respect, but I think when people identify more as a Carrie, I feel like she's super curious and she is like, I mean, she's the one that's taking you on this journey through figuring life and love and friendship out. And so I don't know, she gets the most conflict in the show sometimes because she has her pitfalls as a person, but she is like, do they say this on the show or did someone else make it up? But she's like a relationship anthropologist.
She says in the pilot, and she tells Big, okay, she's a sexual anthropologist. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I do feel like she is a writer and she is a funny writer. So it would not surprise me at all that like most people that are writers identify as Carrie's because it's not, it's like you're figuring things out. So I don't know. She's not always the best friend and she cheats a lot and she does a lot of shitty things, but that's just like me. But that doesn't mean that you do that, Corey or Chloe.
I'm a Carrie.
Yeah. Have you ever knocked out your ex's current wife's teeth by, you know, because that's a great plot line
in the middle
on
of
the
a
way.
Cheating scandal.
I've only broken an ex's current wife's arm. So I guess I'm not really a carry. No, I haven't.
Yeah, that's way more of a Miranda move.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
totally.
But yeah, there's, you know, I feel like Carrie Bradshaw is just like, even the name, when they were coming up with the name, you have to think, you're like, now it's just synonymous with like, I don't know. It's just like one of the great names of all time now.
It is a good name.
Yeah, it's a great name.
I've heard that, especially for like showbiz names, there's something about like consonants, like hard consonants, and there's something about the number of syllables. Mm. So like a four syllable thing, like Carrie Bradshaw, Chloe Radcliffe, Corey Kevin,
Kevin Doyle.
I know, but I had to add the stupid middle name.
You added the James. Kevin James. But I think a three name is a pretty, you know, three name celebrity thing. There's, you know, Philip Seymour Hoffman, those kind
of things. You still have hope. My Radcliffe is actually the name of my mom's first husband, who I have never met and I am not related to.
Radcliffe? Really? His first name?
No, it was his last name.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Radcliffe was his full name.
that sounds like an oil baron.
Yes.
Radcliffe.
Make way, Radcliffe is coming. no, my full name on my birth certificate is Chloe Marie Nadelson Ruggles Radcliffe.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Ruggles?
Ruggles is in there. That's my mom's maiden name. She was great. Rebecca Ruggles Radcliffe for
once. That's a great name.
Right? A Harry Potter character name.
It is, yeah.
And then my dad's last name is Nadelson, and they were never married, but it needed to be in there somewhere. And my mom's last name was Ruggles Radcliffe, not hyphenated. And so that was going to be mine. And then they just winched Nadelson in there. So
wow.
That's my... And frankly, between Nadelson, Ruggles, and Radcliffe, I think Radcliffe is a much better showbiz name.
It is. Yeah. There's speaking
Chloe
of Harry
Radcliffe
Potter
is great.
Yeah, thank Chloe you. Radcliffe's a great name. And Daniel Radcliffe is he was a Ruggles.
He knew some Ruggles. Yes.
I don't know. I don't think the Ruggles house made it into the Harry Potter thing. They cut the Ruggles house.
Yeah, he was raised by Ruggles.
By Ruggles. That's what it was. Yeah.
I've already blown my Radcliffe load, but I used to have a bit about how I would marry Daniel Radcliffe and then hyphenate my last name and be Chloe Radcliffe. But
there you go.
Feels like too much Radcliffe for one. For one podcast. At this point, we are at Radcliffe.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And that's We're that's picking a good bit to do.
That's full capacity. That's full frontal Radcliffe. We've reached it.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into talking about the ep. We're entering into season three today, so we're gonna let Katie.
Just a good one.
Just a good one. We're getting into peak Sex and the City, so we're gonna let Katie tell you what happened in the episode if you didn't watch it, and we will be back. Bye.
Episode 31, Where There's Smoke. Harry meets a politician at a FDNY calendar benefit on Staten Island. Miranda gets help from Steve after she undergoes LASIK eye surgery. Tired of waiting for a fairy tale romance, Charlotte begins aggressively searching for a Prince Charming to marry. Samantha dates the pinup boy fireman she met at the benefit. And now, back to the boys.
And we're back. We are back. And we are in season three.
Chloe, I have a question. We used to give Cosmo ratings for each episode when we watched it through the first time. Mm-hmm. And so off the top of your head, I know this is putting you on the spot. Watching this second episode of Sex and the City, watch the pilot. You watch this. How many Cosmos, 1 to 5, half and quarters are appropriate if you'd like. How many Cosmos would you give this episode?
I would honestly give this a 4.25 Cosmos.
Wow.
Wow.
This episode made me laugh out loud multiple times.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And lots of kissing, which is all I ever care about.
Lots of kissing. Yeah.
I'm just here for the smooches.
Yeah.
I love
that. This is a good one. This one like left a memory, because anytime people in New York go to Staten Island, it's like a memorable episode.
Yeah.
And this I think they nailed it.
Yeah. The Staten Island firefighter being so stupid. Truly, I tried to rewind it and show Jeff that scene, and then our Roku remote was shitty, so I didn't bother. But
oh my god.
It made me laugh. The whole way through. Ugh.
Yeah.
Where can I get one of those shirts? I know there's a, I think there's a store on Bleecu. It's so good.
We always wondered if that was just a straight up firefighter that they just cast, or if it's a guy that they were like, you're going to be playing a guy who's like kind of like a big, strong dude who's a little dim-witted.
Yeah.
But like the way that he plays everything is so straight, where it's like almost they were trying to direct a guy and they were just like, just do what you
do. You know
doing.
What? Just
talk about what you do.
They have incredible, throughout the whole series, one of the compliments to the series is how many, and you can tell by how many one-off characters have gone on to be like superstars, like Bradley Cooper in the show. There's like articles with like 38 people that were on Sex and the City.
Like got their break in Sex and the City. Interesting.
Yeah. And it's like a testament to the show how many just small one scene or one episode characters there are that are just so good, so specific, and just like you can tell they're like really, really great, talented actors. And that dude, he just nails it. So good. Such a great really performance.
Does. And that dude is not one of the ones who went on to become a star.
that is not Bradley Cooper.
And that dude honestly had a bright future and never fulfilled the potential. So I hope he's well.
There you go.
So there you go. Good luck to you.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed your 1 year of SAG health insurance.
If I was that man listening to this, Kevin, I would find you and kill you.
I'm Googling him right now just to be like, no, he's actually doing fine.
I bet he owns a house on Staten Island.
I mean, he's a good dad.
As doing badly for what he wanted to do, be a star. Yeah. Owning a house on Staten Island is not the career trajectory that you're aiming
That's not the dream that he had. He was like, that was my character. All right, I'm going to recap the episode. Mm-hmm. As I'm looking at recapping the episode, I'm realizing, Kevin, because we've been banking some episodes, I completely conflated, for our listeners who listened to the last episode, I completely conflated the Steve and Miranda storyline from last episode on our last pod. I totally said that happened last time and it happened this time. But basically, Steve and Miranda are back together. I just jumped ahead in their relationship. So if you're out there with your notebooks doing Bradshaw Boys mistake Easter eggs, well, look at you. You found another. That's one of 7 million that are in our podcast. All right. So,
With the magic of editing,
Yeah, that's true. We've never bothered with that. Come on.
Yeah, that's too much work.
That's not our brand.
Yeah,
not at all.
That's for the guy who has a baby.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of time now to do that.
Yeah.
All right. So season 3, episode 1, Where There's Smoke. So we open up. The girls are on the ferry. They're going to judge the fireman ball, which is like a fireman dancing contest on Staten Island.
The calendar contest.
Yeah. They're going to judge that on Staten Island. Carrie is a celebrity judge, and she talks about how being a minor celebrity, they get invited to fun things like this. She gets there very disco themed, a lot of like hot stuff type music going on. And they meet Bill Kelly, who is running to be a city comptroller, played by the fabulous and smooth John Slattery of Mad Men fame. He tries to chat up Carrie and gets her address and her number for official purposes only. Charlotte gets hammered. And then on the way home, she says she's going to get married this year. And then Samantha ends up meeting the actor that we were just talking about, this hot fireman.
What's his name?
We don't know.
Anyway, keep going.
I don't know his name. We're going to find his name. I forget what Hot Fireman's name is.
Anyway.
Probably not. Chloe, you're really seeing the holes in this podcast. John, please come back. So then they go out for a chat and chew. They're at the diner. Charlotte is insanely hungover. And they ask, is it wrong to fetishize the men that they sleep with? And then Carrie's writing, and her couldn't help but wonder is, inside every strong woman, is there a princess, a woman that just wants to be rescued? Miranda needs someone for her emergency contact to get LASIK and thinks about it being Carrie, and then ends up not calling Steve, and Steve ends up showing up to be her emergency contact. And when she takes off her glasses, she has clear vision and can see that Steve is lying there beside her. So they're back together. And then Carrie and Charlotte go out to a bar and meet a guy named JJ, who I remember us loving. We thought that he looked like a bad version of Lin-Manuel Miranda, and he hits on both of them. And then a really aggro dude who went to Harvard punches him out, and Charlotte ends up dating angry guy who just beats up every person that they're always out with. He also talks about doing the Hasty Pudding show at Harvard, which is a comedy thing there. And then, Carrie kind of ends up with, Bill Kelly asked her out. She realized she's too hurt and afraid after her relationship with Big to go out with anyone again. So she stands up Bill Kelly and then ends up getting on the Staten Island ferry herself to go back out to meet Bill Kelly. And then when she tries to leave, she misses the ferry. And just as she puts her slipper back on, like a woman in a fairy tale waiting to be rescued, he pulls up in a black car and drives her back to New York City. And that's the episode.
John Slattery, fucking hottest man alive.
Oh, yeah. I texted Corey when I was watching the episode. I was like, that's the most charming man.
What the fuck?
In the world.
I hope my boyfriend can't hear. My sweet, sweet boyfriend. Actually, he already heard me be like, because Jeff could see the TV while I was watching. So I made some comment about him being hot. And Jeff was like, yeah, but he's like old. He's like 50. And I was like, no, he's 38 in this episode. When this episode was taped, Jeff just looked at me and I was like, yeah, I did look it up. He went great early. Oh, my God. He's so fucking hot.
Yeah.
He has just the way that he talks and looks and exists is like... It's like, are you acting? And he is like, he's like a trained, very experienced, great actor, but you're like, you don't even see a hint of any, like, he just seems like so natural and so fucking
but
cool.
I bet that he is that sexy in real life. Like, I bet it's not really, I mean, like, of course he's a very talented actor, but I bet,
Did y'all watch Mad Men? I know that
we
talked about. So his real life wife in Mad Men plays his wife that he like leaves in the show. So it's like amazing, and his wife is like, she is gorgeous, and so it's like interesting to see him act with his real life wife and be a total jerk to her, and then like leave her, and then like there's a scene in Mad Men where she like comes to his deathbed. He doesn't die, but like he had a heart attack and he's like crying, holding her hand, but he's so, such a like mean, horrible person to her in the show.
So
it's great.
So this is what, this is a great forum to do this. So I've seen, I'm living currently like right by John Slattery, and I've passed him
for
like
real?
Three different times.
For real?
Yeah.
Tell yeah. him I say hi. Give him my number.
Okay. So last summer I when it was like peak COVID, everyone had masks on, and it was like
not me. You know, COVID's not real.
There you go.
Exactly.
That's the other reason we had you on here was mm-hmm, for you to explain mm-hmm. your view of science, mm-hmm, Chloe. Mm-hmm, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I ran into him and I had to ask him for directions because my phone went dead. And the second that he started talking, I was like, that's fucking John Slattery. I didn't know at first. And it was raining. I was on my motorcycle and my phone was dead. And then the second he started talking, I was like, that's John Slattery. And then we saw him on the beach a few weeks later, me and John, and he was with his family, and we were debating for an hour. We're like, do we go up and be like, and now I've seen him two times in the past 2 weeks. And I just have to be like, I have to pull up, be like, listen, dude, will you do the pod?
Yeah,
you got to.
Absolutely.
And ask him. I know.
Wait,
I know. I got nervous the first few times.
Where do you live?
I'm working in the Hamptons this summer. And so, yeah, so I think he's out here.
Oh, but I think if you're like, hey, I happen to have seen you like four times on the same street. It's,
yeah,
I've not talked to you the other four times. I think if you can be like,
yeah,
I deserve credit for waiting until the fifth time to do this. That is like a strong opener, because otherwise,
that's true.
Like, just like, you know, jumping on him right away and being like, last summer, I had to ask you for directions. Didn't ask you then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like the fifth date. You're like, hey, I'm really taking it slow.
Yeah. Can I suck your dick?
that's what you end with right there.
Yeah.
He's got the
white scruff going on right now that looks pretty fucking sexy.
Well, I used to see him all the time at this one job that I worked at in Lower Manhattan, and it was like right below Houston. And I guess he lived down there, and we would see him on the way into the office, and everyone that I worked with, especially like my boss and her assistant, were always like, God, Slattery's so hot. He was outside this morning. We got coffee and we would see him. But the funny thing was that he was like, you know, the beautiful Slattery that he is, but he would do things that maybe because he was charming, he could get away with. He was constantly riding a city bike the wrong way up the sidewalk. But it's like, you can't get mad at him because it's just like Slattery.
That's like such an annoying thing on so many levels.
Like not only the wrong way on a one-way street, but in the middle of the sidewalk,
so
the wrong
funny.
Way. And for Christmas, my friend who was the assistant, she just gave our boss a framed iPhone picture she had snapped of him zooming by one day on the bike.
That's
she just like
so
put it in a
funny.
Frame and they put it on her desk. But yeah, we would see him all the time there.
How does everybody have experiences with John Slattery? And
I think he's like one of those. You'll get it. It's going to happen. Now that we've put it out in the air, it's going to happen.
Yeah,
totally.
John.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He's so happy and exciting that he has a few episode arc in this. Not
really
not
does.
Just a one-off.
I get to ogle him for the next couple episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think you're gonna follow his arc? He's got a pretty interesting arc. Yeah.
It's funny, me like thinking this like totally silver 38-year-old is so hot is feels like such a I've had a few like a few sort of touchstones throughout becoming a woman where I've been like, oh, mm-hmm. I'm now an adult. Like the first time I was attracted to a bald guy, I was like, oh, I'm a grown up. Then like there was once where a guy had a mustache and then I saw him without it. And I was like, oh no, you look better with, and just a mustache, not a beard, not a whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no, you actually look better with a mustache. I was like, yes, I am a woman. Yes. And this feels like, this feels like yet another bat mitzvah for me.
That is really, yeah. When there was when I was going bald, it was difficult as it was like just like thinning hair. Mm-hmm. And then the older you get, then the more people would just be like, I think bald people are sexy. And I was like, this feels good. Yeah. I like this. This is better than being in college with just thinning hair when it rains out and you're just like, oh shit.
Yeah.
This is horrible.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to say bald people are sexy, but like, you know, I saw one guy once.
I saw one dude once. It was just John Slattery with a shaved head. He was super hot.
What I'm realizing, this is the last thing I'll say about John Slattery. John Slattery is very much in the world of Billy Crudup for me, who I also have a huge crush on. I just like clearly have this like 45-year-old, like lanky, charming actor type. Ugh,
yeah,
Billy
sure.
Crudup, if you're listening, call me. John Slattery,
yeah,
call
absolutely.
Me.
Yeah, get him to both call you. Yeah,
please
totally.
Both that- call me.
Please both call me. We'll three-way calling. We'll have it. We'll do it. We'll do like a, what is it? Like a FaceTime window where you just keep adding in every actor in that age bracket. Yeah. Is Thoreau in there for you? Thoreau is a little bit different, I think. Justin Thoreau. He's also a big Sex and the City character.
Wait, here's the problem. Justin Thoreau is a name that I hear a lot and don't know what his face looks like.
I feel like he lost cred when he got married to Jennifer Aniston because... In my head is like he left the Crudup Slattery crew when you go so A-list, then it's like
part of the attraction of Crudup and Slattery is
okay, not your guy.
Maybe.
Okay, all right.
I like it.
All right. I think I saw some younger pictures of him that made me be like, no way, but. Man, do I just like 45-year-olds? Hard to say. Anyway, keep going.
It's possible. Hey, you know what I did find out? The firefighter's name is Ricky.
Ricky. His name is Ricky. What's his last Ricky. Name? You didn't Ricky. Find a fucking last name? That's the best we can do?
For this
actor whose dreams were crushed? And then
No. That's his character's name. The actor's name is Michael Lombardi, and he was in two things. He was in another thing called Spectropia as a ball guest.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you know what's cool?
No, I'm sorry.
There's another firefighter on it who plays firefighter on couch. He's one of the guys towards the end of the episode.
When Samantha goes
and
in
that's
there.
Kevin
and he's been
James.
In tons of stuff. And he plays in Sex and the City. He plays fireman, and then he was in Third Watch firefighter, Romance and Cigarettes firefighter,
whoa,
Law and Order firefighter. He's been in like 10 episodes of. So he must have the outfit, and he just plays firefighter all
right,
the time.
Yeah, right. Well,
Luke Cage, Blind Spot, Blue Bloods, all firefighter.
Wow.
Do you think he is a firefighter or was a retired firefighter? And he got, because you know, like there's people in the acting world that's like, I was a retired cop. Now I just like play that type and they actually do that. I wonder if he was a firefighter or maybe if
I wonder if he's really trying to break out of his type and he just keeps getting cast as firefighter.
He keeps going in as like smart doctor.
Let
like,
me
sorry.
Play the professor.
Nope. You got a firefighter's face. let's talk a little bit. Okay. So Samantha dates the firefighter. I don't know if there's a ton of story there, except I guess the best part of the story is expectation versus reality, where she shows up to the firehouse and she's got that like blue fringe on and she's like, hey boys. And then it is literally just it's a firehouse. It's an adult version of a frat house where they have a very serious job where they have to save people from fires. Mm-hmm. And my favorite part is when Ricky just says, hey, I just put on a pot of chili. Get up for Sam. Sit down. just throwing on a pot of chili for everybody.
Yeah, Ricky's
my favorite
great.
Part is when he just comes out and yells. He's like, "Get that off! There's
that's,
a fire!"
Like, I was just gonna just say like, that's it's so good. Get the fuck out of my shit. It's a
I know,
because
it's just like it's like it shows you got to respect that guy because he's like no, he's like I don't care about sex anymore. I don't care about my dick. There's like people are in need.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm saving lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
They're real heroes there.
They really are. Yeah.
Yeah. Did Miranda get LASIK? Is that what she got?
She got LASIK or whatever version of LASIK was happening back then, where they like because
it's called LASIK. They called it LASIK.
They called it LASIK. Okay.
Yeah.
Because cool. It was crazy when LASIK first started. I mean, now I feel like you do it in like 2 minutes, but it's like that's one of the craziest innovations in human history. That it's, like you can chop people's eyeballs and then they can see correctly.
And it seems like the scariest fucking thing. I have better than 20/20 vision, so I wouldn't know. But
oh, look at you!
I but I all the better to see John Slattery with.
Yes, when he's freaking coming at you 20 miles an hour on a city bike on the sidewalk.
John, call me. but it's I've always thought LASIK is like just sounds like the absolute nightmare risk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it can. I think there's someone that like that my family knows that it didn't work on. Like it, they can botch it.
Yeah,
there is a risk, and it can, and then it screws up your vision. Like then
I think
you just
you like lose the not the eye, but like vision in the eye. I don't know.
Well, I can't wait for a doctor to prove this wrong. But I think that once you get it and they screw it up, I don't know if you could just get it fixed. Like I think it's, I think you just kind of can't have it.
That's why I thought about it that I'm like this. I wonder how early within the development of the procedure she got this because, I mean, this is 20 years ago, and it just seems like that time when people first started hearing about like LASIK, like what is that? And now it's nothing, but this was still a time. I remember when they had billboards about it. I don't think they do billboards anymore, but for a while I would see billboards.
Yeah, I don't think billboards exist anymore.
I don't think they do either.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all NFTs.
Yeah. It did
good for her. Forward thinking individual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It did make me wonder how long LASIK has been around. And that's the end of that thought.
Well, this is the thing that I talked about on the last
1974.
Holy shit.
Look at that.
Most people don't know where corrective eye surgery came from or that it was discovered by accident. The incredible truth is that a young boy with a corneal accident led to the discovery of LASIK eye surgery in 1974, changing the way that doctors look at vision today.
Everything was discovered by accident.
That's true.
Awesome.
That's insane that
in the
that
USSR just, by Dr. Fedorov.
Wow.
Fedorov.
Well, there you go.
This is very exciting.
Your eye is going to be okay.
In USSR, eyes watch you.
Dude, that's crazy. Shout out to John. John is raising a child, and also me and him are reading The Brothers Karamazov by Fyodor Dostoevsky, who invented LASIK eye surgery.
Ooh,
oh, there you go. Same guy. That's the same guy.
Wow. So 1974. So I guess way earlier than we thought.
Yeah. I have a question. So this is the storyline that I botched on our last Patreon. If you want to hear me botch it, subscribe to our Patreon. It's on there. But
money to hear me get shit wrong.
There you go. Yes. That is if you didn't know how much I run my life that way. So the whole thing is like Steve is Miranda's emergency contact. And that's like such a thing. That's such a benefit of the long-term domestic relationship. It's not even just emotional companionship and it's not romantic companionship. It's like a person to just help you do stuff. Have you ever been like you have a boyfriend. So I'm assuming if you got LASIK, he would come pick you up. But have you ever been in a situation where you had to have someone like pick you up from something like that and you didn't have that?
I'm trying to think. I feel like I haven't had any like severe procedures, you know, like medical procedures, dental stuff, you know, whatever. Like I've never had to be put under, you know, medical stuff. Honestly, everything that I'm thinking of like a time that somebody has helped me has just been when I'm like blackout drunk and I'm like mm-hmm. falling on ice and a boyfriend is like, whoop, let's get up because we're in the middle of the street. Yeah. And right, cars right. are coming. But the most recent time, I tend to be a little like, I mean, the positive way of viewing it is independent and self-sufficient. And then flip side of the coin is like, I push people away. And and this, like, February.
Total Miranda. By the way, that's like very classic Miranda.
Classic Miranda? Classic Miranda. See, I might be a Miranda. Oh, yeah. I might not be a Carrie. I might be a Miranda.
That's true.
But this February, I got fucking ham sauced. And it was on it was when it was like cold. It was in the like 25 degrees. And I was so drunk that I also just am like I will not pay for a car. I'm the cheapest person I've ever met. And I don't know why I didn't take the train, whatever. I walked 25 minutes in 20 degree weather and I was wearing winter boots, but my feet were so cold and I started crying and yelling on the walk. And I arrived at my boyfriend's friend's house, our friend's house where I knew every, you know, there were like five people there, whatever. I knew everybody. I didn't have to go. I could have taken a car. I could have gone home. I could have taken the train. I didn't have to walk 25 minutes in the below freezing temperatures, blackout drunk alone at night. But boy, oh boy, I sure did all of that. And I arrived and Jeff was like trying to take care of me, trying to help me. And I was crying and I was angry. And all I could say was like, I don't know why I'm angry and I don't know why I'm crying, but I need to be alone. And I went and sat out on, I walked around the block to a different part of the block and sat on a stoop for like 40 minutes and played the Nutcracker on my phone and just sobbed.
And that is what song from the Nutcracker?
Pas de Deux, which is close. It's it's, I think it's one of the best classical songs ever written, but it's not one of the famous ones from the Nutcracker.
Okay.
It's like this second or third to last song. And all of our friends were like, Jeff, why aren't you taking care of her? And Jeff was like, she told me to leave her alone outside. So that's my emergency contact interaction. I'm like, get the fuck away. I am a Miranda. That's what it is. I'm a Miranda. I'll write big signs for myself in big block print. I'll take care of myself. Nobody help me. Nobody help me.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has the, I guess she doesn't get mad in this episode really, but like, this is her opening herself up to Steve to be like, to allow herself to be helped. But you could totally see if Miranda got really drunk, that would 100% be the type of thing that she would do. And then they'd have the conversation where Steve would be like, listen, babe, like, I don't want to help you cause I feel bad for you. It's cause I love you. And she'd be like, oh, I do need to let someone in, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's Charlotte's a cute drunk though. She's so cute. And then the next day she's just like, she's like never had a hangover before. She's like, oh, what happened?
I liked the line, my hair hurts.
I thought about that. That's like such a TV line because it's such a like specific hyperbole thing that someone would write, but it works very well.
It also tracks. I get it. Sometimes my hair hurts.
Really? Yeah. I don't think my hair's ever hurt.
Have you ever had your scalp hurt?
Like, yeah, I have had it. Well, I always have my scalp itch when you like wear a beanie and then you take it off and you're like,
yeah, there's that. I guess this honestly might be a long hair thing. When it's in a ponytail for too long, it physically hurt. Like my scalp physically is in pain, not just itchy. Like it hurts. And then like I take my ponytail down and when my hair moves from like pointing backwards to pointing down, you like feel that it like it feels like a muscle pain, except it's just your skin.
That would be the most annoying thing if you were hungover because you just feel everything so intensely.
Yeah.
So that would feel terrible.
Yeah.
Poor
Charlotte. When I take my socks off, sometimes like my leg hair has been bent backwards. And then you take it off and you're just like, oh gosh.
Yes. So sometimes my leg hair bends backwards too.
That's fine. Yeah, I like put my socks on. I get like stretchier socks and then pull them up and then like let them go so that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's fun watching the girls go out to get drunk is because it's such a good friend thing. Mm-hmm. When a group of, they do this in Times Square in an episode at 1.2, but it's just like when people get dolled up and are just like, we're going to this place, we're going to find some people and we're going to get hammered. It is just so classic that the next day is just like, why'd we do that?
I know.
Not always. Why. It's like, we know why we did it. We ended up exactly where we wanted to be. You you can't have the dark without the light. You have to have the excitement and then you have to have the pain the next day, as long as you're doing it with your people.
Yep. Yeah. I have another question about Bill Kettley, about John Slattery.
I want to talk about.
I'm back.
John.
Someone, and this will be colored by the fact that we've talked about how handsome he is. So I might know your answer already, but someone who you're kind of interested in, but you're like, hey, I'm out with my girls. I'm out on a friend's night. I'm pumping the brakes on relationships. I just got out of a bad thing, and they're kind of pursuing you. And then they show up at your apartment. Is that a charming thing or a kind of annoying thing?
Oh, when he sits on the stoop.
When he sits on the stoop, because and it's cute because he's like, hey, listen, I got your address, but only for business purposes. Like,
right.
I'm here to get your vote. But he's, you know, trying to be cute.
I think this is a classic case of hot person privilege. Where,
yeah.
And I don't even mean privilege is maybe the wrong word, but like hot person permission, where it's like,
yeah,
when someone is hot, they can do things that read as creepy on a less hot person. And
so true. Yeah.
I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying that is real. And so like, if a hot guy, a hot, charming guy, even a guy who I'm like, even if I'm like, really, I genuinely don't want to be dating right now. And like, I told you no, you know, like if he did it more than, if he showed up on the stoop, then yet another time or whatever. And he shows up in the car, but he says, he's like, I'm going to be here at 7. I'm going to sit downstairs for a minute. And if you don't come out, you don't come out. And like, that, you know, that's a follow through. So then like, if she hadn't come out and then the next week he was on the stoop again, like, okay, now you've crossed the line where being hot can't redeem you from this. But up until now, you know, it's like, if you find a random that, you know, think of the creepiest thing, like you're alone in the woods and a stranger appears in the woods. If that stranger is hot, you're like, hi, can you help me? And if the stranger is ugly, you're like, get the fuck away from me. I have a stick. I have a rock. I will kill you. Like that is.
Yes, totally.
So that's. Yeah. Does that answer the question?
That 1,000% answers the question.
Corey, who is it that calls her multiple times? I mean, it's the same thing later in the series. This guy, the Russian, who is played by Alexander Petrovsky, he makes
Petrovsky.
Related.
And he invented LASIK eye surgery.
Yes, related to Fyodor.
Fyodor. Yeah.
But he calls her like multiple times and he like gets her number, finds out this. And it's a classic thing because it's like when someone shows a little bit of interest, that's why it's like nobody is John Slattery or Alexander Petrovsky, you know? Like at least us three aren't, I don't think, but
well, yeah, speak for yourselves.
But just most human beings are between like, you know, the 30 to 80%.
I'm looking up this other guy also. Yeah, keep going.
I mean, he's not the greatest looker, but he is like the greatest male dancer of all time. So. Yeah. He's like a legendary dancer. Like,
and he ends up
in
ballet.
What is his name? Alexander.
Alexander Petrovsky.
It Alexander spelled with a K?
It's Alexander. Correct. But yeah, it's Mikhail Baryshnikov is the actor. But
For real? But Mikhail Baryshnikov is the actor.
Yeah, oh. he plays Petrovsky.
Oh,
Mikhail
you
Baryshnikov
should have
does.
Said.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't have just led with. The
I forgot his name
thing that you haven't watched. but he sort of plays the older artist,
right?
Where it's like he's maybe not so he's got like hot mysterious person privilege.
Yes.
Possibly. He's definitely
there
a
was a
weird.
Time there was a time that I talked to a girl for a little bit and she was very complimentary of my outfit. We talked about music for a while and she let me know what like store she worked at. She's like, oh, I work at this store like in Soho, blah, blah, blah. And I was too nervous to ask for a number, and which I just should have. And then she could be like, I have a boyfriend, which is what happened. But it's like, I was like probably 2 weeks. I would go by the store. I'm like, just go in the store. Mm. And I finally just because I would walk past it a lot. And I tried to make it as normal as possible. And I went and I was like, oh my gosh, hey. And she's like, hey. And I was like,
oh no.
I was like, and she was like, it's great. I was like, do you want to get like a drink sometime? She's like, I have a boyfriend. And I was like, oh, is it so fucking weird that I came here? She's like, no, it's not at all. I just have a boyfriend. I was like, and I totally couldn't just like, I was just like, you know, cause I should just, and I just like had to like show all my cards or else I'd be like, I don't want to be creepy. I just did.
Of course.
And she, and we like laughed about it, but it was definitely one of those things that in your head, you're like, you could play both sides. That I'm like, there was all these signs of interest. We talked about music. We vibed on this. And then afterwards is like, that makes total sense. She had a boyfriend. So she's just having a talkative time with anyone.
Well, this is classic. Yeah. This is classic. Chloe Radcliffe patented, one side of the coin is crush goggles and the other side of the coin is round down. So that it's like crush goggles, you see everything round up, right? Like every, I've like had this experience where I like, I thought that I was sending very clear messages to a guy that I'm not, you know, like we're hanging out so much and nothing physical is happening. You have to interpret that nothing physical is going to happen. Like if it was going to happen, it would have happened already. Except crush goggles, you see, and you're like, well, it wasn't today, but it'll be tomorrow. You know, we connect on, we connected on music and I bet she's thinking about that, right? Like crush goggles is round up. And that, and the real, the like self-coaching is always round down, round down, round down. So if you're like, I think she might be interested in me, round down to like, she felt a spark, you know? And like, I think she felt a spark, round down to literally nothing. Or like, I think she's desperately in love with me, round down to she has a crush. You know, like everything needs to round down.
I had I had a round down moment on the subway where I was coming back from a, I was coming back from a wedding and I like had had like a few drinks and was like dancing at the wedding. I was like in a suit. And I walked by and I sat between, there was like two girls on one side and one girl on the other. And I just sat in between those two groups, not really thinking that they were together, but also kind of being like, whatever, I just got from a wedding. I'm feeling good. And then I was Instagramming the couple on my phone and the girl who was by herself, who wasn't with the friends, was like watching me and I was trying to like do the text, you know, sometimes like the text won't move with your fingers. And she just reached over, super cute girl, and reached over and like grabbed the text. Was like, do it like this. And I was like, oh yeah. And then, and then she was like, what is that?
And I was
like,
my heart just skipped a beat. Yeah.
And then I was like, okay. And then she like, you know, was like, what if you do this? And kind of like messed with it a little bit. And I was like, okay, cool. And so then we kind of had this little flirt going back and forth and then we get, and then we stayed on the same train. Like it, and we kept going on the F train and then we get to where I'm like, we're almost at my stop. And we get one stop from my stop. And then she was like, okay, well, this is me. And I was like, do you want to get a drink? Do you want to get a drink right now? And she was like, I can't, I got to get up early tomorrow. And I was like, okay. And I was like, well, what's your, is this your stop? What's your name? And she told me who she was on Instagram. I think she told me her name is when she was on Instagram. And it was like a fun enough thing where I was like, that was cool. And maybe I'm going to see her in the neighborhood. And then I looked her up and she was like a very popular, like Pitchfork music artist. She was like a weird ambient artist. And I have a friend who has like worked with her before. And he was like, dude, that sounds like she was into you. And I was like, well, but I was like, I followed her and messaged her, but she had like 45,000 followers and never got the message.
Did she ever message back?
She never messaged back.
She never checked it because it probably went to her.
It's in the requests. Yeah.
It's in the requests and she just never checked it. And I
feel like it was real connection.
I think in her mind, I have since like read her story and I know that like at that point in her life, I think that she was like coming out of it.
Oh no. Because
well, I went back and I was like,
at
I
that
asked my
point
friend.
In her life.
Yeah.
I was with you. I was with you so hard up until that, that phrase. No, wait, keep going. Keep going.
Well, what I was, because at the point I was like, what was going on? Because I found out she like didn't live in New York anymore. And like, if you piece together the thing, it was basically like, it sounds like she was like about to move out of New York. Like, I think she was just in a thing where she was like, I'm having fun. I'm talking to cute strangers on the subway.
We're gonna flirt.
And like, and now she's like married. And so like, I think it's like, maybe she was in a relationship then.
Yeah.
Maybe something else is going on. But in my mind, I was like, if that's a round down, it's like, oh, it's like a fun subway flirt that seems like it's going somewhere.
No, and then, I think you were right. And honestly, it's saying like at that point in her life sounds very creepy, but it's the deep dive that we all do. So you're
it's
not
the deep dive that when
we just like don't admit it on a podcast.
Like, yeah. Well, we've admitted on this podcast so far that we make mistakes and you can pay to hear them. And I stalk strangers that hit on me on the subway. So there we go.
Oh, wow.
I would be so turned on if she had a good review on Pitchfork. I'm like, I got flirted with by someone with an 8.4 best new music. Are you kidding?
She's had them. And the reason that I knew the history is there was like an article that was like her journey through her new album. And as I was reading it, I was like, oh, at this point in her journey, that's when I met on the subway, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you had a story, Claire, Chloe.
I just have the first week that I lived in New York, and just like immediately I moved from Minnesota and, you know, didn't materially look any different, like was wearing the same clothes, had the same body, but just felt so much hotter being in New York because New York is a hotter city, and had a like moment on the train. It was like a Wednesday at 1 a.m. I'm coming home from a show, and I lived way the fuck out in like by Broadway Junction, and hot, like tatted up guy. And my type is not like tatted up guys. And we like kept being like, eyes, look away, look away, eyes, look away, eyes, look away. And I sat down, and then like seats opened up, and there was a seat open next to me. And I regret to this day, not like looking back at him and just pointing at the seat and being like, come sit down. And he would have, he for sure would have. I regret it to the day. Anyway.
I handed my number to a girl on the subway who was making eyes at me one time. Mm-hmm. I just like got off and I was like sweating and I handed it off, and she texted me like 2 minutes later, and then we ended up going out.
That's so
but
fun.
But it was like in your head, you're like, this could be so that's why I guess if you do the Bill Kelly move for television, you have to have a scene and you have to go a little harder. But for real life, I think the thing that you can do is you leave it up, like basically like be open to them accepting it. Cause if someone wants to accept it, you don't want to like getting a person's number. It's better to like give the number and then live freely to be like, okay, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Because it sucks to be in your position, Corey, to be like, to message and then be like, ah, what if she checks it? Because, you know, I guess like it's just hard. The older you get, the less you care about this stuff. It's more just like, hey, let's like figure out if there's a connection or not.
Yeah, sure.
But it's so funny in New York. I feel like you do that stuff in your head way more than other. You're just like, I think I'm in love.
Yeah.
And then you get off of the train, you forget about it 2 minutes later.
Totally. Yeah. We're almost wrapping up, but I have a final question that I want to pose to Chloe, because it's Carrie writing from her perspective, and she's talking about, she says in her couldn't help but wonder, inside every strong woman, there is a princess. And she said, do we all just want to be rescued? Do you think that is true? Do you agree with that? Do you think everyone just wants to be rescued?
I think that rescued is too dramatic of a word. But I do resonate with like, again, so as I've established, I am like, I'm independent, I'm self-sufficient. And I think I am those things to the degree that the people around me, not I think, I mean, this has been confirmed by both my boyfriend and good friends of mine, and exes actually. That I am independent and self-sufficient to the degree that the people around me like assume I never need help, and that I sort of project the like, I've got it at all times. And I always want someone to like swoop in and hold me and be like, here, I brought soup, you know, like, let me take care of you. It's not the like rescuing, but like caretaking, nurturing, like, somebody being like, I've got it, turn your brain off, and like that I do crave, you know, from time to time.
I think also Carrie's coming off like, I don't know, this is kind of her first rebound after big you know, in the season finale, they're setting up stuff, but it is a little dramatic, but it is kind of what everybody wants. Everyone wants to be just a little tiny bit rescued from themselves and from the boredom of life and from the sadness of loneliness and stuff. But it is.
Yeah, that's all we want. All I want is for St. Vincent to just write me back. That's all I want from our subway encounter.
Fuck off.
It's not St. Vincent. Come on.
There's no way. Can you say who it was?
I don't really want to say who it was.
You don't have to. I was just.
I'll tell you who it was after we got off the pod. I mean,
that's awesome.
I don't want to say who it was because there is a mutual friend that we have who would then be like, oh, you outed me or whatever. So
That's awesome.
It was Meg White of the White Stripes. That's who it was. Because we just talked about her on our other podcast.
Well, listen, Chloe, this was so wonderful to have you. And I'm glad that you
hear me. I think I cut out a little bit.
Oh no, we can hear you. We can hear you.
Great.
I think we had a Hey, listen, we're still in this weird internet age, but we're just talking to each other through screens. We can hear you. But yeah, this was awesome. Where can people find you?
I'm so glad that you enjoyed watching it too.
Chloe Badcliffe on all platforms, like my name, Chloe Radcliffe, but bad. Cool. And that's pretty much it.
Cool. Awesome. Well, we enjoyed talking to you. Like Kevin said, we're glad you enjoyed watching it, come back another time. Maybe you can meet John.
Oh my God. Oh my God. If you ever have John Slattery.
Oh, we met John Sieber, our other host. But hey, Slattery as well.
Yeah, fuck that, John, who just had a kid.
There could not be.
You think I give a shit about meeting that, John? No. Why would I care even a tiny bit?
Oh, I don't know if we could have a better ending.
All right, John S. When we have either John S. on.
Yep, exactly. All right, thanks, Chloe, and thanks everybody. Later, taters.
Later, taters.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cavan, John Sieber, and Kevin James Doyle. The show is produced by Jeremy L. Balin. For more information on the guys, check out their website at bradshawboys.com, on social media at The Bradshaw Boys, and if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.